and shame. I stand redeemed and justified in Jesus' perfect name.
I need not hold to lands and goods, nor strive for treasure's base. I need not long for things I've lost, for I am saved by grace.
The grace of God has rescued me from fear, regret, and shame. I stand redeemed and justified
in Jesus'
name. I need trust my Father's care and faithful run my race. I need but hear His sweet well done, for I am saved by grace. The grace of God has rescued me from fear, regret, and shame. I stand redeemed and justified
in Jesus'
perfect
name.
Well, good evening. We are the camp team from Maranatha Baptist Bible College. My name is Andrew Solaric. I am a senior biblical studies major from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Good evening. My name is Liz Gross, and I'm a senior social studies education major from Pound, Wisconsin.
Hi, I'm Matt Terpstra. I'm a sophomore mathematics education major from La Crosse, Wisconsin.
I'm Kelly Colas. I'm from Highlands Ranch, Colorado, and I'm a senior piano performance major.
And I'm the one that Pastor was talking about. I'm Steve Thayer from Elkhart, Indiana, and I'm a mathematics education major as well.
Praise the rock of our salvation. Praise our mighty God above. Come before His sacred presence with a grateful song of love.
Thank you. sing the gospel's joyful sound, salvation full and free. Proclaim to all the world around the year of Jubilee, the year of Jubilee. Salvation, salvation, the grace of God doth bring. Salvation, salvation, through Christ our Lord and King.
Souls aloud rejoice, ye blind your Savior see. Ye prisoners sing with thankful voice, the Lord hath made you free. The Lord hath made you free.
Salvation, salvation, the grace of God doth bring. Salvation, salvation, through Christ our Lord and King.
With rapture swell the song again of Jesus' dying love. 'Tis peace on earth, goodwill to men, and praise to God above.
Salvation, salvation, the grace of God doth bring. Salvation, salvation, through Christ our Lord and King. Through Christ our Lord and King. Through Christ our Lord and King.
To him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave his son for man to die, that ye might man redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. At the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Of those in the heavens and those on the earth, and even the ones who reject his name, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords. At the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Glory to his name, glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Blessed be the name of the join our cheerful songs with angels round the throne. 10,000,000 are their tongues, but all their joys are one. Jesus is worthy to receive honor and power divine, and blessings more than we can give. Be Lord forever, ever thine. Be Lord forever thine. Worthy the Lamb that died, they cry, to be exalted thus.
O Jesus is worthy to receive honor and power divine, and blessings more than we can give. Be Lord forever, ever thine. Be Lord forever thine. The whole creation join in one to bless the sacred name of Him who sits upon the throne and to adore the Lamb. Jesus is worthy to receive honor and power divine, and blessings more than we can give. Be Lord forever, ever thine. Be Lord forever thine.
All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, if you would please turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I'd like to thank Pastor again for having us and hosting us and feeding us. I know it's quite a task. We had a great afternoon with them and had some shish kebabs. I think that's how you say it, a lot of S's in there, but those are delicious. And last night we had haystacks, not real ones, but that's what they're called, nachos and cheese and all that good stuff. So we enjoyed that and thanked them for that. Tonight I want to look at Colossians chapter 3, the first five verses. And I've entitled the message, "What Are We Doing With Our New Life in Christ?" What are you doing with your new life in Christ? Here we have an epistle that Paul wrote, and some have given the title or the theme for Colossians as being Christ is everything that we need. Christ is everything that we need. Since Christ is all we need, we are able to have new life in Him. Tonight I would like to look at chapter 3, the first five verses, and see what we have to do if we have this new life in Christ. But before we look at what we need to do if we have this new life in Christ, we need to see if we have this new life in Christ. In verse 3 it says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." In verse 1 of chapter 3 it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ." So to have this new life in Jesus Christ, we have to be dead to sin and be risen with Christ, which is salvation. So if we want to have this new life in Christ, what we're going to talk about tonight, first of all, you need to realize, do you have this new life in Christ? The way you have this new life in Christ is you are dead to sins, dead to this earth. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He died for our sin, for your sin and for my sin. But He just didn't die, He rose again. And in verse 1 it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ." So if you have received this salvation, you have received this gift, received Jesus' death on the Christ, then you can have this new life in Christ. So first you have to have this salvation, this gift, to be able to live for Jesus Christ and to have this new life in Jesus Christ. So if you are saved, if you are dead to sin, and Christ lives within you, and if you are risen with Him, then you will be able to have this new life in Christ and someday appear with Him in glory. So now that we have established that we have this new life in Christ, now we can see what we can do with this new life. If you have this new life in Jesus Christ, what are we supposed to do? What does it look like? How are we supposed to act? We're going to look at that in these first few verses. And we'll start again in verse 1. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory." Then in verse 5 it says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." So the first thing that we need to do, if we have this new life in Christ, if we are dead to sin, dead to the things of this earth, risen with Jesus Christ, the first thing that we need to do is we need to seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above. This verb here is one of action. It requires doing something. If it was passive, then it wouldn't require us to do anything, but it is an action verb that Paul has here listed. He says seek, requires us to do something. You could say to seek or keep seeking. So we're supposed to seek those things which are above. Well, what are those things which are above? Well, it says in the end of the verse, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the throne of God. I believe it's the attributes of Jesus Christ, the characteristics of Christ and who He is. That is what we need to seek. Some of those attributes and characteristics are meekness. Praise the Lord for Christ's meekness in Psalms. We see in Psalm 136, where at the end of each verse it says, "For His mercy endureth forever." Also His mercy, His meekness, not only mercy, but His holiness, His patience, His wisdom, His forgiveness, His love, His purity, His kindness, and the list can go on. These are the things we need to seek if we have this new life in Jesus Christ. If we are changed. Also in Paul's epistles, we see him referring to the old man being put off, being dead to the old man, and putting on the new man, this new life. And when we do that, we have this desire, this passion to seek Jesus Christ and His attributes all the time. Not just sitting back and saying, "Well, it'll come." No. But this action, this activity of seeking, keep on seeking Jesus Christ and in heaven. This reminds me of when I was younger, and growing up we had an Easter egg hunt. And our parents would hide eggs around the house with candy and money and or nothing in it. We didn't like finding those. But whatever they hid, we had to find it. Now, if we wanted to find all of them or some of them or some that had the good stuff in it, we had to get up and we had to go looking around. We had to move chairs, move cushions, get up on the stool, look on the shelves. We had to go out and seek them out. We had to put forth some effort. Now, if we just sat on the couch and, well, you know, maybe one will fall. Maybe one will just, you know, pop out of the couch. You know, maybe one will start crawling down the hallway or something like that. No, that doesn't happen. We had to put forth action, put forth seeking. And that is what Paul is trying to get across here, is if we have this new life in Christ, if we are saved, if we are serving and living for Christ, we need to seek Him. We need to seek heavenly things. We need to seek those things that are eternal. A lot of times we get our focus, we get seeking the temporal, the things of this earth. Sometimes they may not be bad. But we start seeking them, and that's all we do. And what happens? Well, if it's a car, it might rust, or get an accident or break, or a boat or a truck or, you know, something in your house or something. A lot of times we give all of our effort, we put forth action, and we give everything we got for those. But we need to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Seek what is holy. Seek what is eternal. Seek those things that last. And that is what happens when we have this new life in Christ. So we need to seek those things which are above. The attributes, the characteristics of Christ, where He sits. In Matthew 6:33 it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." It should be the first thing we do. It should be, we should have this desire with this new life. The desire, the first thing we do is to seek those things which are above, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Paul's trying to get across here to the believers to yearn for things of heaven and to look at things in light of eternity. I think as Christians, sometimes we lose the focus. We lose what really matters. Sometimes we might get discouraged or down with the things, the temporal things of today. We need to realize that we're looking forward to heaven. We're looking forward to the glory that will be there, and we're working towards that goal, and that is heaven. And that requires us to seek those things which are above. And then in verse 2, we have the next thing we need to do if we have this new life in Christ. It says, "Set your affections or mind on things above, not on things on the earth." So if we want to live for Jesus Christ, if we want to have this new life that means something for eternity, not only do we have to seek those things which are above, but we also need to set our affections on things above. So many times we get caught up thinking about things in this world and forget to set our thoughts on things above. Another word for affection is mind. Set your mind on things above. What do we do with our mind? Well, we think. Hopefully, sometimes I don't, but we think with our mind. And so we're supposed to think on things above. Set our mind, our affections, our thoughts on things above, not on things on the earth. So we should be thinking on the things that are above, which are in heaven, where Christ is, according to verse 1. So it's almost an effect. If we seek those things which are above, then we need to think on those things which are above, things that are holy and just and pure and righteous, those characteristics of Jesus Christ. When I was in high school, I enjoyed sports. I played them through college, and also I enjoyed playing them in high school. And one of the sports I played was basketball. And one thing that we did before each basketball game with our coach was we would we'd go up to a classroom, get away from the crowd and the noise and, you know, the snack shop and pizza and all that stuff. And we would set some time aside to focus on the game. And we put all the distractions aside. We would, you know, close the door. It was quiet. No one's around. And the idea was our coach wanted us to focus on the game and what we had to do. You know, if we were the guard, you know, we got to get the ball down the court, get it off to the shooters, you know, down low, you need to block out, you know, remember the press. You know, we'd sit there every game and focus on those things. He'd usually read us some scripture, and we would just totally focus just on the task at hand. We wouldn't be thinking about the next day. We wouldn't be thinking about what we're going to have for dinner when we get home. No, we just focused on the game. The same is here. If we have this new life in Christ, if we're saved, we're Christians, we got to be thinking about the things of Christ. We have to have this thought life, this affection, this mind of Christ. We see in Philippians 2 that talks about, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to have the mind of Christ. We need to be thinking wholly on Him. And at times, I think too often, we get sidetracked and we think on those things that are important. Well, what exactly then are we supposed to think on if we're saved, if we have this new life, if we're dead to sin? Well, what do we think on? We're supposed to think on the things of Christ. What are they? Well, in Philippians 4, verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report, think on these things. Right here, he gives us a list, another writing of Paul. He gives us what we're supposed to think about. You know, at times I catch myself, you know, thinking about the worries of today or thinking about, you know, something that really doesn't matter. And maybe I get discouraged or I think about what's going on in this world and the decline, the falling away of Jesus Christ. But he tells us to think on that which is true and honest and pure and just and lovely and of good report. If we let heavenly things dominate our lives, we will live godly lives. Sin will have no place in our mind if we fill it with heavenly things. If we put good things in, there will be no room for evil things or wicked things or sinful things or impure things. And once again, we set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Don't let your mind dwell on things of this earth, or it will take the place of things of above. Christ wants all of us. He wants everything. He wants us to set our affections on things above, but He also wants us to think on things above. He doesn't want us to get caught up on the things of this world. Sin, wickedness, hatred, idolatry, all those different things. We need to let our mind totally be dedicated to Jesus Christ and what He has for us. Then in verse 3, we read earlier, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ and God. Last week when we were at Camp Castle Rock, the evangelist gave a really good point about being dead to sin. You know, we hear it sometimes, being dead, putting off the old man, what is death? And he actually had a body bag, and he rolled it out and asked what this was. And he talked about how he used to, he had a job where he went around and he picked up people who had passed away, and he would put them in, you know, the back of the car, and he would take them to wherever they needed, to the funeral home, wherever they needed to go. And, you know, he said people came up to him and asked, you know, isn't that, you know, kind of scary or creepy or something? He's like, well, not really, and they're dead, you know, I haven't had anyone sit up and, you know, ask where we're going, or, you know, needed to stop and use the restroom or something like that. You know, they're dead. They have no movement. They have no, you know, activity. And that gave me a good picture of when we're dead to sin, we're dead to our old life, we're dead to all of that, we should have no reaction to it. It should have no part of us. There should be nothing in us that gives into what we have died from. No response. No response to it. And if we were dead to it, if Jesus Christ died on the cross for sin to erase the penalty, to erase it, then it should be dead. It should be gone, and it should have no part in our life. And then in verse 4 it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. That's what should be our goal. That's what we should be living for. When Jesus Christ returns and we go with Him in glory, will we have lived this new life to its fullest? Will we have lived for Jesus Christ? Will we have been a reflection for Him? When we stand before Him, will we be able to say that, yes, Lord, I was seeking You all the time. I put action, I put effort forth into seeking You every single day. Lord, I set my mind, I set my affections, I set my thoughts totally and completely on You. To live out this new life in Jesus Christ fully. So not only are we supposed to seek Jesus Christ and heavenly things, and not only are we supposed to set our affections, our minds, our thoughts on things above, but in verse 5, we are supposed to slay, mortify the sinful members. In verse 5, it starts a whole other thought, but I think it ties right in carrying on to the rest of the portion of chapter 3 of what we need to do with this new life in Jesus Christ. And it says, mortify, therefore, or slay your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Even if we are already dead to sin from salvation, we need to slay or put to death sin each and every day. We have to make a commitment. We have to make a goal to, you know what, I'm going to wake up and live this new life in Jesus Christ, and I have put sin to death already to start the day. When we ask Christ to come into our lives, sin's hold on our lives was taken away. But sin still is in the world today and still is sometimes a part of our lives if we do not put it to death. We are dead to sin's penalty, but sin is still strong and our flesh is weak, so we must slay our sin, put it to death. In Romans 8:13 it says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Sin is powerful, but praise the Lord, God and the Holy Spirit are more powerful to help us destroy sinful deeds in our life. Well, what are we supposed to slay? We have some big words in here, and it says fornication, that's immorality, uncleanness, impurity that may be in our lives, inordinate affection, this wrong passion, evil concupiscence, this evil desire, and covetousness, this greed. Is this list, is any of these a part of your life? If it is, you need to put it to death. You need to slay. You need to mortify it. You need to get rid of it. Because in this new life that we have in Jesus Christ, there is no room for these sins. And how are we supposed to slay this? Through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Ephesians 4:16, we see the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to help us put to death and slay. Zechariah 4:6, it says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. 1 John 4:16, the Word of God abide in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. The Word of God is going to be our God. The Word of God is going to help us slay and put to death these sins, and will also help us seek and set our affections and minds above. And once again, we saw in verse that we're supposed to set our desires on things above, not on the earth. And all these sins that we listed are part of this earth. And so we see how everything we're supposed to do is towards heaven, towards Christ, and nothing for this earth. We're supposed to slay it, put it to death, the evil sins that we get from this earth or from the world. And when I was growing up, and in our family, we had a family lawn care business. It was called Solaric and Sons Lawn Care. Me and my brother like to call it Solaric and Slaves Lawn Care. But anyway, we cut grass, we fertilized, we did landscaping and all that fun stuff. And one of the things we had to do every single year was we had to spray for weeds. No matter how much we sprayed the first year, they would come up again. And sometimes we had to spray 2, 3, 4 times to get rid of these weeds, to kill them off. And then the next year we would do it, and the next year. In some yards we'd have to do it 4, 5, 6 times to get rid of all these weeds, so the people could have this nice manicured lawn. The same is in our life. We have these desires, these sins, these evil desires, these impurities that sometimes want to creep up in our lives, and we have to get rid of them. We have to slay them. We have to put them to death. Sometimes they want to come back again. Maybe when we see something or a thought, we need to make sure that we slay it, put it to death. No response to it at all. It is also neat here, as I said earlier, to see the contrast where we're the contrast and where we're supposed to do things and where we're supposed to do them for. Either for heaven, eternity, for the new life, or for things on this earth that are dead and lead to destruction. We're supposed to do all things for heaven and nothing for this earth. So first, do you have this new life in Jesus Christ? Are you saved? If you're saved, you can't do any of this. You can't see God. You can't set your affections on God, and you can't slay sin. So are you saved? Have you accepted Jesus Christ's death on the cross and realize he is risen, and someday he's coming back to receive those who have accepted him? And if you have this new life in Christ, then are you seeking those things which are above? Are you setting your mind, your thoughts, your affections on things above? Are they taking first place in your life? And are you slaying the evil members that are a part of you. If you are doing all of these things, you are living out your new life in Jesus Christ to the fullest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for everything you've given us. Lord, I thank you for this time where we can come and worship you. Lord, I thank you so much for your salvation. Lord, I thank you so much for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. As a group sang tonight, we praise you for that. We praise you for your grace that you give us. Lord, please help us as we have this new life in you. If we have accepted your Son, help us to live like you. Help us to live it out. Help us to have a different life, one that seeks you and sets our affections, our desires, and thoughts on you. And Lord, help us to slay sin. Help us to put it to death. Help it not to be a part of our lives, Lord. Be with the rest of this evening. I be with the week at camp. I pray for everyone here as they attend their jobs. Help them to live for you. Help them to be an example for you. Help them to share their word to everyone they come in contact with. We'll give you all the honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.